All right, here we are. So, you think we got something in the trap?
I don't know. Let's try,
though. We have been... let me turn the story around. We have been after these otter for quite some time now. And because our pond... Here's the river, and our pond is right over there, probably... Well, it's 245 feet from the river. And with that pond being so close, like I talked about in a previous video, we stocked that pond with a bunch of catfish and some bluegill and all, and so we fed them all summer long, and we were getting the catfish up to good eating size, and then the next summer we come down here and we fish, and guess what? No fish. But we discovered that we had a lot of otter coming in there, and they ate all of our fish for us through the wintertime when we wasn't able to fish or feed the fish out there. So anyway, so we had to start controlling the otter numbers. Matter of fact, we want no otter because we want the catfish.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. We want the catfish, don't we? Yeah, we want the catfish.
You like to...
That's right. We like to catch them and we like to eat them and we don't like to feed the otter. So we have set these snares up. And we have been running them, and we've just had one thing happen after another. The river comes up, it gets out of its banks, we had a hard freeze. I mean, it's just something happening every time we turned around. And normally when I set snares for aquatic, you know, animals like beaver or otter or something like that, I'll set them down in the water so when they swim up to where they're going up on the bank or something, they swim through it and it catches them a lot easier. But I was having to set up here on top of the bank. And I told Hunter yesterday, he was like, we're not going to catch anything with these snares up here on the bank. But I told him, I said, I figured out what we were doing wrong. We were actually setting them too low. And so I needed to set them a little bit higher and kind of open up the loop on the snare a little bit more. And I think since we pulled down here, I'm looking over here and we've had a lot of misses, but I actually think I've got something in there. So let's go take a look.
Go get them.
You're hoping I've got one up. So here we go. This may be the first of probably many because otter tend to usually live, you know, kind of several in one area. So if you've got one otter, you've probably got more otters. So this is not the end of our trapping, but let's go over here and take a look. And we'll slip up here. Now, so you can see the reason why I figure I've got something in the trap and I haven't even looked over the bank yet, but, oh, I see it moving. Yeah, I've got something on there. So if you remember in a previous video, we anchored that snare to a land anchor. And so you can see right here where it's all been, it's been out here on the bank, you know, trying to just kind of moving around and it's really roughed it up right here. And that's why I thought I had one, and I did, because I just saw him go. And he's got a bank den right here. So isn't that convenient, huh? So, I mean, he's got a bank den in the side of the riverbank, not 245 feet when there's a buffet that we've been feeding him over there. And so literally that pond isn't very big. It was like catching a fish in a barrel, especially for an otter. So we're going to look around here. I'm going to get you to come right over here. Now, can you see his bank den? You can just kind of see right there. Now, see the back end of him? Right there. Now, let's kind of yank on this. I'm going to get you to back up over there in that grass. Oh, there he goes. There he is. That is a pretty good otter right there. So we've got him in the snare. Let's back on up a little bit. There we go. Back on. I tell you what, that old otter was out to get Miss Yolanda. Thank goodness for her quick reflexes and a short cable on that snare, right? I tell you what, it got pretty exciting there for a minute. She did not like that at all, talking about Miss Yolanda. But we were excited to see that otter in that snare, and that was one of many that we're going to have to trap, no doubt. But it's one less that's taking the catfish out of the pond because we're about to put some more fish in there, and we're just kind of sick and tired of feeding all the otter. But I tell you what, that trap line that we set out was pretty successful. Over the course of the next few days, we actually caught a beaver, And he was about 40 pounds. I mean, that dude was pretty big. And even though we're not worried about him getting over in the pond and eating the fish, they do a lot of tree damage, and they've done that a lot on our certain sections of our property. And they, just like the otter, make bank dens. And so what happens is when we get a lot of rain, the river jumps up. It washes out where they've made that bank den and that hole in the bank, and it erodes the bank more and more, and so it kind of starts taking more of your property, and the river keeps getting wider, it seems like. But you know what? Just like, you know, a lot of other wildlife, beaver and otter have to be managed, and you know what? They're managed by what the good Lord intended us to do. When we control those populations, we use them for food, and we use that resource for clothing. And I tell you what, a beaver is a pretty good meal. I don't know if Miss Yolanda's going to be too excited about cooking it, but a young beaver, barbecued beaver, I tell you what, it's not too bad. We'll have to see. But I don't know. Like I said, she may not like that at all. You know what? When it comes to managing wildlife on your property, just like the beaver and the otter and a lot of other species, you have to remember, even though they look kind of cute, these are still wild animals, and managing their population is important. Just like us, when caught in a trap, though, they have that fight or flight mentality. So when you go to check your traps, you've got to have a well-thought-out plan already in place of what you're going to do when your trapping efforts are successful. You know what, though? As followers of Christ, we have to have a plan of how we're going to approach this world as well. It's a plan we have to have in place and set up, well thought out before we start the day. Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." In other words, we must be ruled by the Holy Spirit and not by our old flesh. So how do we do that? You know what? It's a daily choice. From the moment that you wake up to the time that you go to sleep, it's a choice to let the Holy Spirit guide you in your decisions and actions. When the Holy Spirit came into your life at the moment that you asked God to save you, He brought with Him what is known as the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22-23, it speaks of that fruit that is within all of us that have been saved. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." While some of those may be more challenging than others to each of us, if we allow the Spirit to rule in our lives, we would live as God intended. Hey, that sounds like a pretty good plan to me. If you enjoyed this video, take time to like it and share it with someone else. And follow us on social media outlets and check out more videos like this on lifeword.org. I've got to go out and maybe conjure up and set some more traps. So I'll see you next time in the great outdoors.